today with the intercessions of the Theotokos, we will try and say a few things about herself. And I would like to start by asking everyone, or whoever wants to answer, why do you think that Panagia, our most holy Theotokos, is depicted in the holy altar? Can anyone tell us? With me, it's not just me talking. If it's just me talking, you will hear nothing. So if you don't talk, you will hear nothing. So I need you to express your thoughts and your questions if you have any. Why do you think that Panagia is depicted in the holy altar? Yes. Anyone else? She's the mother of our God. Anyone else? Yes?
Is the Ark of the Covenant?
Sorry?
Is the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes? Yes? Anyone else? So she is depicted not just in the holy altar, but in the center of the holy altar, in the most important, in the most profound place, we could say. And this is because, how is this icon called? Do you know how the icon of Panagia in the holy altar is called? It says up there, every single time that you see the icon of Panagia in the holy altar, it has a title. How is this Panagia called? She is called Platitera, which means that she is wider of heavens. And why do we call her wider of heavens? Because she gave birth to God, whose wider, God is above heavens. God is something that cannot be included in any space or time. So this is why Panagia is depicted in the most important space in the holy altar. And the way it is, it's half an arch. It looks like she is like coming from heavens, and she has her hands open to embrace everyone. So Panagia was a human person, but she became holier than any other person ever born after Christ. So Panagia, although she was a lady and she was never ordained a deacon, a priest, or a bishop, she is above. She is above every. Alright. Technical issues. She is above every clergyman on this planet ever ordained. We will get there. The fathers of the church say that Panagia is second after the Holy Trinity. That's how great she is. And she was just a little girl when she got pregnant with Christ. Now, what do you think that made Panagia so special and so pure? God was waiting for centuries to find a person, Panagia, worthy of himself to be incarnated. Do you have any idea what made Panagia so pure? Anyone? Yes. But what made her worthy for Christ to be born of her? That's what I'm asking. What you said is correct. Yes. Yes, in a way. Yes. Anyone else? Any ideas? Any guesses? What? She did accept to have to give birth to Christ, but what made her worthy for God to ask her to do so? Yes, she was humble. But what we read from the fathers is that Panagia, since very young, she had all her thoughts dedicated to God. All her thoughts were dedicated to God. And she was cultivating this habit to have all her thoughts dedicated to God. And this is what kept her pure. So basically, in other words, Panagia had an extreme amount of nipsi, of vigilance, of watchfulness. Every single thought in her mind was dedicated to God. And this is why her whole body stayed pure, and this is why she was different from everybody else in a great degree. And as we said, God was waiting for centuries to find such a human being worthy of himself to be incarnated from. So Panagia had virginity, but what she truly had was the purity of the heart. And the purity of the heart can be given to people even if they have sinned. But Panagia did not sin, did not have a sinful life. She was carrying the original sin from Adam and Eve, but she did not have a sinful life. But she had this dedication, her intellect was dedicated to God. And if we ourselves do so, then we can become pure regardless of our past. Because what makes us holy or what makes us unholy is what goes through our mind and what thoughts we accept and what thoughts we cultivate. So, for example, if I cultivate thoughts of judging people around me, I will never have peace inside me. I will never be holy. If I cultivate thoughts of sinning, I will never have peace inside me. I will always be looking for something like this. And this is so important that we can't understand how important it is. So one explanation from the fathers of the church of what hell is that in hell, although God is everywhere and God will be there, because people that they go there, they were used to satisfy their desires, they will be so sad that their desires, their body, will not have the pleasures they used to have here on earth, that they will be miserable to the point that they will ignore God's presence and they will just be miserable. So we have to be careful from the thoughts, we end up to actions, but our actions and our habits are the ones that will either get us to heaven or to condemnation. And this is how Panagia became so holy, and this is how we ourselves, we can also become saints. Panagia, as we said, she was so pure, she ended up becoming the mother of God. And then someone might have thought that she is the greater of every human being, so maybe she would have had a happy life. But this is not the case. After Christ, Panagia was the second person that went through so much pain in her life that we can't understand. When Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, we know from the Holy Gospel that his sweat was out of blood. I could never understand this until once a friend of mine, he had an operation. He had a nose operation. And his tears, they were not just tears. He had tears because of the operation, naturally, but his tears, they were not white, they were red, they were blood. So from the pressure inside the head, the blood goes through the veins everywhere. This is how much pain Jesus had when he was praying for the humankind. And his pain was not like the pain that the martyrs had, but it was mostly the pain of knowing that I'm dying for you, but you will ignore me. I'm literally dying, but you will ignore me. You will do whatever. I can't do anything else, anything more than give you myself. That's what Christ says. But you will go ahead and do what you want to do. So my pain for you is so much that my body cannot handle it. This was Jesus' pain. Panagia's pain was similar because she knew that her son was God. He was innocent, and yet they were killing him. They were killing her son in front of her eyes. And she knew how holy he was, and her mind could not comprehend how could humans do such a thing to the person who is there to save them. How could they ever be like monsters, inhuman? And this is what Panagia went through. That's why when we're in pain, when we want to pray for our children, when we go through difficulties, as parents and as spiritual parents, we can always turn to Panagia and she will listen. She knows what pain is and she will listen. She will listen as if our children are her own, and she will help the best way possible. Panagia always listens, and Panagia always helps. And this is why we have uncountable miraculous icons of Panagia everywhere, with different names and titles, but still is the same Theotokos, who is there for all of us. So when you wait night time for your teenager kids to come back home and you don't know where they are and you don't know if they have the right company out there or not, or when your children, you know that they're involved with drugs, on where you don't know where they are, and if you were to ask them, they would react. Don't talk to your children about God. Talk to God about your children. Talk to Panagia about your children. She can listen, she can understand, and she can protect them. I remember once I had to drive to pick up some trees, some large trees for our monastery in Perth. And on the way back, the trailer that I had behind the ute was not very stable. So the trailer started going right and left, and I didn't know what to do. And without me realizing it, I pressed the brake and the car turned all around, and I was nearly on the edge of the road to fall. The whole thing would turn over. The only thing that I said when this was happening, I couldn't do anything. I said, Panagia mu. That's what we usually do when we fall. We will naturally say Panagia mu as a prayer. And the ute and the trailer did not roll over. It got bogged, but then people helped me out. So even this one word, Panagia mu, can save our lives, can save our children's lives, can help us in ways that we can't understand and we might never understand. This is why in one of the prayers that the priest says in the holy altar, which is a silent prayer, so you won't hear it, the priest says to God, we thank you, ευχαριστούμενσι υπέρ των εμφανών και αφανών ευεργεσιών σου. We thank you for the things that you do for us that we understand and they are visible, and for the things that you do for us that we don't understand and they are not visible. And most of the times, the way God helps us is invisible, and we are complaining because we don't have the full picture. We don't understand how Panagia and how God intercedes for us. When we have children as parents that they go through issues, they have problems, we should still see them the way that Panagia was looking at Christ. So we should still see in their faces Christ. It doesn't matter if they are troublemakers. It doesn't matter if they do the wrong thing. It doesn't matter if they don't behave. They're still created in the image and likeness of Christ. So we should behave to them the way that Panagia behaved to Christ. And with our love and with our patience and without prayers, God can change their lives and make them more like himself and less like the fallen nature that people have. Now I would like to ask you one more question. Can we become like Panagia? Like how? And if we can, how could we become even a little bit like the Theotokos? Anyone? What could we do? Yes. It's prayer and it's what we said before. But we need to understand that the fathers, they say, if we don't experience God from this life, we won't experience God in next life. This means that we need prayer and we need the dedication of our intellect. And in this way, Christ will be born in our hearts. Panagia gave birth to Christ literally, but we can give birth to Christ in our hearts. And this means that he will dwell in us. And then it's like by becoming one with God, our spirit can pray and can embrace and can intercede for the whole of humanity, like Panagia had in her womb the whole of humanity in Christ's face, in Christ's hypostasis, in Christ's person. So there was once God wanted to destroy the earth, and he didn't do because of the prayers of three people that they were holy. If we dedicate ourselves, our intellect, to God, if we think about God, and if we do what our conscience tells us, and if we pray, then we can also become one of these people that their spirit can save, in a way, the humanity. Of course, if people want to be saved, because even Christ's sacrifice was a waste for those that they don't want to believe in him, and everyone is free to believe whatever he wants to. How do we get this grace from God? The fathers of the church, they tell us that the treasurer of God's grace is Panagia. So all the grace that we can receive in our lives comes through Panagia. And this is why if we don't pray to Theotokos, we're missing out. We're missing out big time. Because she's our mother, and because she can understand, and because she can intercede, she has authority to do whatever she wants in a way. She is the mother of God. She can tell her son, I want this person to be helped, and this person will receive the help that he needs, regardless if he deserves it or not. So we need to pray to Theotokos, we need to pray to Panagia, because without her help, we cannot approach God. Any questions? To be spiritual, it needs a bit of effort, but we need to consider how a little girl became the mother of God. And we ourselves, we might think that we're big men or big women or whatever we are, and we just waste our lives. The problem is that at some stage we will realize that the end of our life came. And then if we're not prepared, might not be easy to repent the last minute to save our souls. There are occasions, and I'm not saying this to scare you, but there are occasions that when people were in their deathbed, they were so scared that it was scary to see how scared they were. But the one who loves Christ, the one who prays, from this life enters eternity. And then we will be like Saint Seraphim of Sarov, who passed away while his soul was already one with Christ in heaven. So basically, he was praying, he had an ecstasy, he had a vision, his soul was connected with God, and that's when he passed away. So basically, his soul just stayed connected there where he was. And this is not death, this is the real life. He just passed into the real life and he stayed there forever. And his body collapsed and he will receive it back when the second coming of the Lord comes. But this is what it is to go through death to life. To get there, but we need to put a little bit of effort from this life. Otherwise, it's not going to happen by itself. If we don't want God, if we don't want to be united with the saints, and if we don't pray to Panagia, don't expect to inherit eternal life, because you don't want it. You either want it or you don't want it. It's one of the two. You either appreciate it or you don't care. It's one of the two. It's our choice. I don't want to tell you anything more, because if we just do these few things, we will be saints. So I hope to all of us that we can practice what we just talked about. And I hope that Panagia is in everyone's life. And please pray to her, because she listens. And you will see the difference in your lives. Thank you.